SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From Belmont Park, on a cool and somewhat threatening Wednesday, we'll see about some rain. We've had a couple of droplets, but overall, I think we're going to stick to the forecast. A little bit of wet weather later today and into the overnight, but things continue. And as I say that, the sun starts to peek through. Everything looking great for Saturday, including the card and the 13 race. Belmont Stakes Day card drawn yesterday, including the feature. Belmont Stakes at Citi Field, and really a kind of fun again. Last year was particularly cool because it was new and different. Yesterday was the second time around, and so it doesn't have that same new Belmont Stakes draw smell, but it was really fun to be back there. And Johnny D came up with Gail from Philadelphia and accepted John White's Joe Hirsch Award, Paul Volpone too. And I'm hoping Paul's going to stop by today, tomorrow, or Friday, because you need to hear from Paul Volpone. Paul is a very interesting writer, and you know, the time he spends against horse racing is only a part of his writing interests. He writes for young adults. He writes, I think he's written 13 books, and he lectures nationwide, and I think it'd really be fun to get a conversation in with Paul Volpone as well. So set the stage, much brisker activity here by the main track. We had actually, before the track opened, horses waiting in the chute through the tunnel. And I'm going to guess they were Dermot Magners. And one bucked the rider. And luckily, they managed to block the track from her getting loose. So before people even realized what was going on, she was corralled right in here. So yesterday, you may have either been listening or may have seen the notes. I think Dave Grenig's or Jay Privman's piece about yesterday mentioned the the little bit of excitement with the two loose horses. But right now, track open, and the first two, most notable, the Cassie pair, and got a really wonderful, boy, what a wonderful response to yesterday's extended visit with Mark Cassie. Really, he's just very open and forthright, and you can ask him anything, and you get honest answers. You don't. There's some trainer speak. Trainers all have a certain patter that they deliver. But Cassie's visits always illuminating, and we really wide range of topics, including the stars and one retiring star in Wonder Godot. And that was we like those moments. So when we get the breaking news, I saw some things. I'll make a quick note. I saw some people talk off of Ron Gierkink from the Daily Racing Forum. He tweeted out the news when he was listening, and I saw some comments that were negative toward the way in which she was campaigned. I find that you know, a little silly. The horse was a multiple graded stake winner, 3-time grade one placed, got beat by the champion filly Monomoy Girl in the Kentucky Oaks by a half a length, and then was a dual Canadian classic winner, a Queen's Plate and the Prince of Wales. Was the Travers a overzealous try? Probably. But they had a 3-year-old filly with talent. All we ever hear is everyone, you know, urging connections to challenge their horses, and you know, particularly the filly versus the boys, you know, exhortations. And then we're going to get criticized for it later on. I don't get it. She had a very nice career, and I don't know what else, you know, needed necessarily to be accomplished. I thought that some of those critiques were a little silly. When you have a Queen's Plate to your credit, and the kind of resume she built, and she, you know, with her breeding, she's going to be a very attractive broodmare prospect, and will sell for, I mean, maybe multiple seven figures when we get to November, undoubtedly. So, speaking of selling horses, they will have the sale later today at Santa Anita, 1 o'clock. So those that want to watch the sale, 4 p.m. Eastern time, FasigTipton.com and elsewhere. And it seems like all systems are really go. If we have a chance, we'll maybe get a report in. Maybe we'll reach out. It's early morning, of course, out west. Maybe get a report in from either Jessica Martini from TDN, or Maybe we'll reach out to Boyd Browning before it gets too busy for him in the morning. And I haven't checked the outs after the Monday's breeze. Coming by us right now, you got War of Will in front, nice and easy. Sir Winston as well. Sir Winston moving really nicely. Not that War of Will wasn't, but you know, both of them just galloping along. So Cassie moving into the Belmont in good shape. We were over on the other side as well earlier this morning and watched Tax. I put that picture of Tax heading out onto the training track. And Tax clearly, you know, feeling some of the effects of the bruise that Danny Gargan talked about yesterday. Got his work in. So we'll keep an eye on that. A couple more days of galloping. And, of course, he's also, you know, getting used to the glue-on shoes that Danny told you about right about now, actually, yesterday morning. So scene is kind of set. And with the two of them going by, I think the only there's quite a few of the Japanese out. And so I'm not sure when Master Fencer might appear. Thunder Snow also, of course, I think he's out of quarantine, if I'm not mistaken. So we'll keep an eye. Barkley Tag's got his binoculars trained. And, you know, we'll talk about the draw quite a bit this morning and the fields for the A-grade ones. And Barkley Tag is very nicely involved between Tale of Silence in the Met, and then at the end of the day, he's got Realm in the Brooklyn. So a couple of the stakes for Barkley, and some others as well for him tomorrow and Friday. So still getting a handle on everything. Pretty much done with the Thursday and Friday cards. And made the first pass early this morning on the Saturday card. Let's, in fact, touch a couple of the highlights before Pete Fornatel joins us. Of course, later, Sid Fernando, Sire Watch Better Refocus, brought to you by Hill and Dale, and more. The Belmont draw, and you know, clearly it's not, you know, when you have a track this expansive, the draw is less important than it is at Baltimore and Louisville. But Tacitus and War of Will end up drawing next to each other out wide. Tacitus draws the 10 and is the 9-5 favorite. David Aragona making the morning line. War of Will in the 9 hole at 2-1. So David pairing them up close. And here is this. I think we've got some Thunder Snow action. There he is, Thunder Snow coming down the tunnel. I saw the distinctive blue, and he's coming out with a, I don't know if that's a jogging mate. He's got a pony in front of him, and Thunder Snow making an early impression, and has got quite the photography contingent chasing after him. There we go. And he's going to make his way around the Belmont Oval this morning. There we go. We'll keep an eye for him as he comes around. The field from the rail out for the Belmont. Jovia with Jose Lascano and Greg Sacco. And, of course, Sacco earlier on the card is going to send out Mind Control in what is a terrific Woody Stevens. If you haven't seen the Woody Stevens yet, we got to get to that. A field of 11 that should be super competitive. And Sacco with a very big chance, you would think, with Mind Control as the 5-2 favorite. The Romans Saez entrant Everfast, 12-1 from the 2-hole. Jovia is 30-1. Master Fencer from the 3. Julian Leperu for Katsumi Tsunada. And Tax, 15-1 from the 4-hole. Arad Ortiz, Danny Gargan, of course. We talked yesterday. Bourbon War, Mike Smith. Blinkers Come Off, Mark Hennig. Spinoff, 15-1. Castellano, Pletcher from the 6. The 7, Sir Winston, Joel Rosario, and Mark Cassie. Intrepid Heart, 10-1, and might get that's an attractive number. We were wondering where Aragona would make Intrepid Heart, 10-1, the 8-hole, Johnny V, and War of Will and Tacitus, as mentioned, 2-1 on War of Will. Tyler Gaffalione and Mark Cassie out of the Preakness, trying to become a dual classic winner, and Tacitus, who it seems like the universal, I won't say the universal selection, but you know, certainly I see Ron Anderson over here, and Ron, I'm imagining Ron's picking Sir Winston, and with great confidence with Joel Rosario. So there you go, your Belmont field. But the rest of the card, from top to bottom, the action stake-wise starts with the Easy Goer, which got 6, and Outshine, Pletcher Rapoli, the favorite in there. You heard from Cassie yesterday, Dream Maker. Just a game where you've got a field of 7 that is out of this world. Daddy is a Legend, Belleve, Beau Recall, Rushing Fall, 4-5, Kapla Temptress, Environs, Chad as well, and Got Stormy, the other Cassie entrant on the day, and Tyler Gaffalione, as he mentioned. And Tyler does, for those that heard me bring up that topic, Gaffalione did end up with a couple of other mounts on the main track. So he will get a chance to at least get around the main track a little bit. I think that's important for him ahead of his try in the Belmont. And, Ronnie, you should I'll tell you where. Okay. Go up to their up these elevators. All right, to the 3rd floor. Then you come out of the elevator, you take a left, and you'll see like a cafe. There's 2 elevators there, and you take that to the P, and then it's down the long hall. Okay? It's a big building. Ron, come over here. We got a couple of questions for you. I'm not letting you get away. This used to be one of the great traditional visits of Belmont Week, the Ron Anderson visit. Huh? Well, spin that around, other way, this thing. There you go. Beautiful. Ron Anderson joining us. And, you know, I didn't ask you yesterday when we had a chance to talk. Healthy, 100%?
Yes,
everything's good?
Both hips done, and, yeah, I'm good. I'm 99% good.
Excellent. And, of course, we were here. How many years ago is that now? Five? Four?
Four.
4 years ago.
4 years.
A very scary episode for everybody. And, you know, I brought up the topic yesterday. I asked Cassie, and I think I took him by surprise when I said, is Tyler Gaffalione going to ride before the Belmont here?
Right.
And he said, well, he's riding for me, but that's on the turf. And it does turn out that he's got – but I thought it was important that he get a chance to go around a turn.
Very.
Right?
Yes. This is a unique place in itself. There's no other racetrack anywhere like this, especially a dirt track. I think it's fairly important to know your way around here because it's a huge place. So I would have liked if he could have gotten around there once, but he's a pretty sharp kid and he tends to figure things out. So I don't think it'll be a huge to do, but you would rather that he was around there than not.
The thing that I think it was Gary Stevens when we had, and in fact that conversation is on the Best Of page. I had about an hour and 10 minutes with Stevens maybe 5 or 6 years ago, mm-hmm. where we talked about, you know, coming here and Triple Crown topics. And of course he was on both sides. He denied Triple Crown. He was denied himself a Triple Crown at that time. And he talked about getting lost on the turns here, that, you know, that they're so gradual.
Very easy.
They're so gradual, you don't even know you're going around a turn.
Very easy to do that. Just a unique place. I mean, look at the poles. Look at the circumference. I mean, it's a huge, huge place. And I will go down as saying if Stuart Elliott had ridden Belmont at all, he virtually had never ever even been out there to gallop around on a pony or anything, I think he would have won the Belmont. So that's always been my position. It's a tremendously large place and different surface, and, you know, very interesting. That's what makes this race so unique in itself.
How many times have you won Belmonts? I always ask you this.
I want to say three or four, but I think it's three.
You know,
14 Triple Crown races. I know that one. So, yeah. And the you know, never really know. Mile and a half is a mile and a half. Not easy. Not an easy task for any of them.
You picked up the opportunity.
No, four. Thunder Gulch, Victory Gallop, Empire Maker, Tonalist. Empire Maker was the most unique one for me because, you know, I think if that horse doesn't get a foot,
yeah.
you know, a few days out of the Derby, that he probably would have been a Triple Crown horse, but that's yesteryear. So
well, and Point Given the same way.
Yes.
And Baffert never, you know, until years and years later, never made an excuse about you know how much that hoof was bothering him. But you know, one of the few disappointments for Bobby Frankel in his career, because he I think I've told the story with you with Siaka mm-hmm. at the training track.
Yes.
When Empire Maker was a 2 year old,
right.
and Gary was at the gate, and they're schooling a bunch of 2 year olds, and the horse going crazy behind the gate, and Gary calls up Bobby. It's Bobby. There's a big dark horse of yours going crazy back here. And he goes, "That's my Derby horse." He said, "Derby horse." He said, "That horse can win the Triple Crown." He said, "This was like July of or the fall of the, you know, whenever, before he had ever raced."
Right.
He was convinced.
Well, September, the first week in September, and I'd heard this, you know, the idea of this horse being something extra special. Bobby grabs Jerry to work him 7/8 of a mile one morning right here at Belmont, and I want to say it was the first few days of September as a 2-year-old. He brazes him with Medaglia d'Oro, who was one of the best handicap horses in the country, and he got outworked a half a length by Medaglia d'Oro. And Jerry got in his little truck, and he goes speeding around the back because I didn't see it. I got summoned away somehow, and he comes running up to me, and he said, you know, this might be our horse. I said, what does that mean? He said he just got outworked a half a length by Medaglia d'Oro. I said, you got to be kidding me. Just the fact that Bobby would even
match him up,
it was, as a 2-year-old in September, was like, wow, this is crazy. So, yeah, he was an extra special animal. He was extra special.
How much Twitter do you look at ever?
Quite a bit.
Okay. Yeah. Did you see the Ask It sent out a tweet with an image of the Coolmore Silks? The blue and orange,
right?
The orange ball, and they said, "What's the first horse you think of when you see these silks?" And so I wrote, "I said, really? Gary Stevens, Thunder Gulch? Right. Is there another answer?"
Yeah.
And it's amazing, actually, how many people. Obviously the Europeans, you know, they had their own answers, and actually there were a couple of other interesting offbeat. A couple of interesting offbeat answers, but right. a lot of people chimed in. That's who I thought of immediately.
Yeah. Michael Tabor, yeah. That was the famous silks of Thunder Gulch for sure. Thunder Gulch was a unique horse, and I'm going to tell this story, and a lot of people don't know it, but some people do. I was in Hong Kong with Gary Stevens when Wayne called me to ride that horse in the Derby. Gary refused to come back. You know,
at first.
And I went back to California to do my taxes, and I grabbed Mike Smith, and Mikey'd been riding him. And I said, Mike, I need you here. Wayne wants Gary to come ride this horse, and you can't, you know, obviously you're right. I think he was on, I forgot who it was. He was hung up. He said, don't worry about it. Let's meet at Pepper's, which is the Mexican spot on down the backside of Santa Anita. Put him on a pay phone with Gary with my calling card, and a couple minutes later, he'll come and ride him. And he said, I don't want to ride that horse because he rode him in the Remsen and didn't care for him. That was months and months before, and I kind of monitored the horse and knew that Wayne obviously had his whole card and he was going forward. So he wins the Derby, got beat, I think, half a length in the Preakness, wins the Belmont, runs to California, wins the Swaps, comes back and wins the Travers.
Yep.
Then he got hurt in the Jockey Club Gold Cup, but he was an extra special horse too.
He was among my first favorite horses, and I hit him in the Derby. I was living in Montreal. It was up at Hippodrome Blue Bonnets.
Okay.
Is where I went and bet. Well, and I've said this a million times. I'm convinced I'm the only person in the building that had him. And at one point earlier in the afternoon, you know, I'm like pouring over the PPs and constructing bets and three French Canadians. Who do you like in the Derby? Mm-hmm. I said, I like the 16.
Wow.
And he said, nobody can win from out there in the auxiliary gate.
Right.
Now it's the only place they go. They
over
win
the
from.
Over the years for me, because of the funnel effect with jocks leaving the gate and the outside horses trying to, you know, tack down to save ground, I would almost rather be way, way out there all the time because you have some options. You can either go or you can woe, and you can guys that are jammed up in 1, 2, 3, 4, like through 8, they can have guys dropping down on top of them, and nobody's given an inch in the Derby, obviously. So over the years, for sure. I was in Vegas with some friends for Thunder Gulch, and I never picked him up until he made his move and ended up on the lead, and I couldn't believe it. Wow. He paid – he must have gotten
$53.
I thought it was $49.
In Canada, it was – because the pool – I think at that time the pools were still – it was 50-something.
That's a nice whack for sure, right? Very nice.
And had everything else – Jerry Brown, he had written a column.
Okay.
In the Daily Racing Form, because that's before they had made the decision about whose figures they were going to use. And Jerry did a Thoroughgraph column.
Okay.
It gave out the triple, cold.
Wow.
Cold.
Wow.
Tejano Run, Timber Country,
Very
the whole
exciting.
Bit. The whole bit.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Right.
talk about, I'm not going to, yesterday we touched on it, but I'm not going to press you on what went on in the West Coast. As much time as you spent there, I'm sure you're as frustrated and concerned as anybody. But regarding Rosario and how those travails affected you. I mean, you're certainly well mounted, here going into the weekend.
We have chances. I'm not going to point to the fence with any of them, but on a days like these, couple of days, you just have chances. You're doing good. There's huge purses, and I mean, if you can't get excited about these couple of days of racing here, you shouldn't be involved in this business, because this is, and the weather's going to hold up.
Yeah, it's going to be gorgeous.
It's going to be perfect and very exciting couple days. So we'll see what happens. My horse in the Belmont, he'll get a mile and a half, obviously. Kind of has a...
Sir Winston, by the way, folks, for you keeping tabs.
I think he's an interesting long shot.
I agree.
To flop on the board. I'm not going to say that he's going to win or anything like this, but he would have some sort of a chance to be 1, 2, 3, 4 for the super effective people or whatever they're doing. I think Mr. Mott's horse is probably my choice, along with a lot of other people. Gets a break from the Derby. Didn't participate in the Preakness, obviously. Nice animal. In fact, Joelle rode his mother champion year of 14 or 15.
Close hatches, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So he's a special bred kind of horse for us. And Mr. Mott, I don't care what anybody says. He's somebody you can root for all the time. He's low key. He's professional. Just a really good guy. I consider him a friend, and I'm always rooting for him.
War Will for a second, because you did ride him early in his career,
nice
a couple
horse.
Of times.
Rode him on the turf in the Breeders' Cup,
and in the summer got beat less than a length in the summer.
Yes, nice horse. Type of horse that developed from being 2 to 3. He's going to be up very much controlling the pace on Saturday. And, we know horses that are forwardly placed in the Belmont tend to run well. And I would think at this point, he's a tough horse and a target for everybody, because I think he's going to look up in the middle of the turn. He'll be in front, I think.
That feels like, with only who? Jovia and maybe yesterday Gargan said he thinks he'll be right up on with Tax. And you got to expect with Johnny V and with Blinkers that Intrepid Heart is going to be forward.
Yes. But interesting race. So we'll see.
Let's touch a couple others here, because you got Channel Maker. We'll go backwards. Channel Maker coming out of that win in the Man of War, and he certainly has ridden Channel Maker enough to know how to adjust to this to this scenario in here. What do you think?
He gets along well with them. He's going to be probably in front or 1-2 the first part of it. I think he runs well here at Belmont. I think he's going to get a firm turf. I think you're going to look up at the quarter pole, and he's going to be in front. You'll have to run him down. I'm not going to say, you can single him or anything, but I think he's definitely going to run good. He's pretty honest.
Speaking of being in front, did he move early because it in the Man of War? Because it sure seemed like Arklow was getting to him late. I mean, did he think
he... He's a very unique horse. He runs really well for Joel. He's not an easy horse to ride, so you have to really be kind of in tune with the pace and all to get the best out of him. I think he chased that horse maybe a little sooner than he actually wanted to, but he's a nice animal. He definitely is.
What's interesting, too, about him is how many different kinds of turf he's run on, and
yes.
And he's won here on soft and he's won here on firm. So yes. that isn't gonna hurt one way or the other. Got to bring up, and I told everybody what a fascinating group we ended up with in the Woody Stevens, and Lexingtonian was the most shocking winner of the Preakness weekend. Yes. And Jack Sisterson, I mean, was only surprised, I think, because you know, because he kind of fell into the race. I mean, they took a shot, but and you had ridden him previously before the Chick Lang, right. And Jose Ortiz ended up on him when it came to the stake opportunity in Baltimore.
Well, he got a perfect setup that day, and he got up the very last stride.
Yeah,
I think he fits. I don't see a complete standout here. I think the distance is interesting for him. You know, Jack's an up-and-coming star as far as I'm concerned, very accomplished horse person and trainer, and he seems to think he has some sort of chance, and that's good enough for me. You know, the distance should be good. I think he'll settle and make a run. He's an interesting chance, too.
Doug O'Neill is who he worked for, of course. Doug shows up in here with Landeskog. Mm-hmm. And this is a Munnings gelding that was second in the Bachelor to Nitrous, who's here for Steve Asmussen. Complexity makes his three-year-old debut. The McLean's Music for Seth Klarman and Chad Brown. Jose Ortiz is there, and that's why Lexingtonian was open.
Yes.
Mind Control, of course, Greg Sacco. Mm-hmm. Now that he's devoted back to one turn.
He's an interesting horse.
He's
run against the best horses, I believe. He's probably most seasoned, and, yeah, he's a tough animal.
You're sitting out the Met Mile, which I'm sure is a little little irksome. Some thoughts about this race
round?
I'm
going to point to the fence. Everybody want to listen to this?
Yeah.
Okay. I think McKenzie will win. I think it's a perfect distance. I think he's a super, super nice horse. I think it's going to set up perfect for him, and I'm not taking anything away from a bunch of nice horses, including Steve Asmussen's horse, Matoli. He's a really good horse, too. Look at it. He's got all these ones in front of his name. But I tend to believe that the Met Mile plays more like a mile and a 16th at Belmont than a mile or 7/8. And I just think McKenzie's going to be in a perfect spot, and I think he's a free spot in the bingo card. Thunder Snow for me is an awfully nice horse, but looking at the distances and everything that he's been running, and he's got a jock that hasn't ridden here, I tend to think he's going to be way out the back coming out of mile and a quarter races, and he's going to come running to finish, you know, third or fourth, something like this. But I think McKenzie's what do they call it? The banker.
There you go. There you go.
He would be my banker for the day.
I like it. And there you go. There's your fence pointing moment, pointing for the outfield. The Acorn came up really interesting. You mentioned Jack Sisterson is an up and comer, young horseman. Well, how about Ben Colebrook? And here's the Roth family with the 4-for-4 fancy dress party. You're getting on for the first time.
Interesting. I mean, look at her record. I mean, it speaks for itself.
She's the most unknown undefeated horse in the country.
Yes, and you know, I think she's got a legitimate chance. You know, speaking of another up and coming younger trainer, you know, my friend Michael McCarthy's got his filly drawn well on the outside.
For Bo Hirsch, a Bo Hirsch homebred.
Yes, and, you know, Michael is a very accomplished Todd Pletcher ex-assistant who's done extremely well, as we all know, with his Breeders' Cup and Pegasus accomplishments. Yeah, he's interesting too. Kind of a wide open affair, I kind of think. Like a lot of these races, like you mentioned, this is an amazingly fun and interesting card to put together and puzzles to put together.
I got to bring up the Jiper, now a Grade One, and the other day, I don't know if it was yesterday with Andy. Now it must have been last Tuesday with Andy Serling or last Wednesday, given the holiday. Andy said he thinks Joel Rosario, with all the good riding things that he's capable of, he thinks that Joel particularly is devastatingly effective in turf sprints.
Yes, I mean, look, I'm working for him. He's, if we get on the right one, he can get them all around there. But yeah, the sprint races on the turf, he seems to have a knack to be able to really finish on one and get horses to you know, quicken, as they say, over the pond. And you know, I have somewhat of a chance here.
Well, this is a personal favorite of mine. I mean, going back to his whole career with Danny Hendricks, the now 7-year-old horse. He's not a gelding.
Right.
Ohm has been a trooper, and of course, the family. You know, the emotion that was involved with the Sanin family, and the loss of their son. This horse is got a million fans, and you know, Peter Miller seemingly shopping for a new place to, you know, drop roots. Seems to be gravitating more and more away from the West Coast, and you know, he ran okay in the opening verse, going a mile, gets to go one turn, and of course he was effective down the hill many times. I really needed him down the hill in the Breeders' Cup 3 years ago.
Right.
That was as
right
when he tried to scrape Stevens off.
Yes, was that Bobby's kitten?
No, it was the next,
okay.
Maybe
yes.
The next.
Okay.
I'll think of whom. That was excruciating.
You have no idea.
You have no idea what that.
I have an idea. From what you're saying, yes.
Oh, it's just unbelievable.
Wow.
Just unbelievable. World of Trouble is a fascinating horse.
Yes. He's an obvious 3-to-5 shot, but I tell everybody on a day like this, you're probably not supposed to be betting too many tickets on 3-to-5 shots when there's so much value in other horses. So
the problem is there's nobody to go with him.
No,
there's no speed.
He's a tough animal. He hardly runs a bad race. He's, like you said, he's going to be a couple three in front when you look up turning for home. So a tough horse.
You've got Capla Temptress. You don't ride the Ogden Phipps, the five-horse Phipps with Come Dancing stretching out a little bit. And she's gone a mile and a 16th before. But Midnight Bisou, obviously, is going to be formidable. The wonderful story, the Escape Clause, I think, is a terrific. It's Donnie Schnell with the 5-year-old mare and has really, you know, climbed the ladder from obscurity to, you know, to this
short field in a race like this. I just kind of, wow, it's, you would think for this kind of money in a grade one on a day like this they'd have a few more bodies in here. I'm just really surprised.
Well, Monomoy is on the shelf.
Yes.
Wonder Godot retired yesterday.
Yes.
Elate is MIA.
She goes to Fleur-de-Lis next weekend.
Yeah, so
I've mentioned it to all the powers that be. They need to try and figure out how to space this race and the Fleur-de-Lis and the United Nations and the Manhattan and all these races that they're just, you know.
There just aren't enough horses absolutely. Well, the racing secretary's meeting, there was the discussion about doing some alternating.
They need to get to that because, you know, there's less than half as many foals as there were, you know, 8 or 10 years ago. So it's a bit of a dilemma. There's not the same pool of animals, obviously.
Rushing Fall is 4-to-5 in the Just a Game run, and it seems to me, I mean, as good as she is, and she's terrific, that feels, you know, a little hyper-aggressive. Again, it's a pace question. There isn't an obvious answer about who's going to go with her, but, you know, Got Stormy can press a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You ended up with Capla Temptress, who, you know, coming out of the distaff turf at Churchill, and we do have a lot of that cast coming back, as well as Bellefe out of the Jenny Wiley, and you've got, let's see, 1, 2, 3. Who am I missing? That's coming. No, that's it. That's it. You've got two from the Jenny Wiley and 5 from the Distaff Turf Mile. And I thought Capla Temptress on her best it was a usable price.
You know, I'm going to draw a line through her last race. I'm not sure that's the trip she wants. I think she needs to be kind of covered up to make a run. You know, if she flopped on the board, it's not going to surprise me. I don't know exactly how to weigh her at this point. But, you know, Chad Brown is obviously very tough in there. Another one going to be forwardly placed and probably, you know, you got to catch her.
Joined by Ron Anderson, and for many years this has always been one of the highlights of the lead up to Breeders' Cup. Looking at the rest of the weekend, Catalina Cruiser, your best of the 3 days?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, Rocketry and the, you know, the,
in the 2 mile,
the mile and a half,
the Brooklyn, the nightcap.
Arnaud Delacorte with the horse in the 2 mile race. It was second last year.
Kinesar.
Very, very interesting chance for me. I got a bunch of chances, you know, but like I said, I'm not going to say to you, we're going to point to the fence on any of them, but I have a bunch of legitimate chances, and Joel tends to be able to get the most out of these, and hoping for a couple of wins,
maybe a surprise or two. Tomorrow, I want to ask you about my happy place for Shug, the baby coming out of my happy face. It was a very nice stakes runner, and you're also riding Roaten for Hollendorfer in that heady allowance.
Worked very well twice for Joel. I'm looking for him to. For a big performance from him, probably again Chad Brown to beat, but very interesting.
That's Sonneteer, isn't it?
I think so. Yes, it is.
Sonneteer for Keith DeSormo, who's in the Brooklyn, right?
In the Brooklyn, yes, yeah. yes.
With Corey Lannery getting to come into town. Boy, yes. it's a Cajun fest.
Yeah,
The Roaten is a horse that we've been, been kind of a fan of, to be honest. And that's the sixth race tomorrow. Roaten for Larry Best and Hollendorfer. And you know, he was one of those, that group for Hollendorfer last year that, you know, we kind of expected.
Look at his form. I mean, he ran against a game winner, and at that point was on par with him, I believe. He breathes like a horse that's going to run well, so we're anticipating the best out of him tomorrow.
Well, Joel Rosario, very well mounted, and you look through the horsemen that seek him out tomorrow. Pletcher, Clement, McGahee. You're riding for Shug in both of those maiden races, the fourth and the fifth. Hollendorfer, Charlie Baker for that key in BC.
Love Charlie.
He's all right. Tony Dutrow, Carlos Martin, more Hollendorfer, Stidham, Kimmel, Sadler, Delacour, George Abreu, another up-and-comer, on and on and on. Mott, Colebrook, Sisterson, Cassie, and Dermot Magner. That horse almost got away. See what
I
went on here?
That, yeah.
That was one of his, right?
Yes, it was.
You know, that horse that you're on in the race between the Belmont and the Brooklyn, King Cause,
okay,
has been in my I forget what the occasion was or how he ended up a horse that I put on in my horse watch.
Okay.
But I'm always watching for him, and he's 1 for 10. So I'd like at some point to get some of that money back if we can figure out when.
Don't give up on it.
No. And of course, you know, last year he you know, danced some of those offbeat, 3-year-old races, and really nothing really materialized.
No.
So it seems like trying to get him back going. I think it was because Magner was on with us about a stake win, and we were talking about his young horses. So this may go back to when he was a 2-year-old, even
maybe.
And I put him in the watch, and so he pops up. He broke his maiden in April of last year in his third career start, his second start as a 3-year-old. Ronnie, what do you make? What's your Saratoga projection in terms of, you know, the added time and the 2 days off?
Oh, I just, you know, I have referenced all this because Del Mar was six days a week for many, many, many years. And, Steve, I'll just tell you, it's going to be like a different world for every single person, from the backside help to the office help to the jocks, the trainers, the agents, everybody. Because in this business, such as life, everybody needs a couple days off. At least you can do something. With one day off, you couldn't breathe. I mean, the gamblers were, you know, under the gun. Everybody was under the gun for 6 days. And the intensity of the meet, unless you've been there, people don't really understand that just the competitive, you know, people die just to win one race there. So it'll be much better. We could do something, you know, from Sunday night till Wednesday, and you know, take a trip to Boston or wherever you wanted, whatever you wanted to do. When you want to go rafting, or you know, out on the lake, Lake George or Saratoga Lake, it'll be really nice for everyone, I believe.
We're going to have a master list of day trips and overnights. Lake Placid, the Thousand Islands, Cooperstown, you name it. I mean, there's going to be so many options, and it's going to be great for, as you said, Jay Pribman was the first, Ron, to really utilize the Del Mar comparison, and kept saying when this was being discussed, you know, over the last 5-6 years, Jay kept saying,
needs to come.
Wait till everybody, you know, gets to do this, they're not going to believe how they were able to survive 6 day weeks.
Yes.
Recently. And I can tell you, as somebody that worked behind the scenes with the barbecue, I mean, it's grueling. My wife was a mutual for 10 plus years. It burns everybody up. And the other thing, nobody's really, I hear it discussed, the chance for horses to get an extra start in up there.
Yes, that too. And you know what? The thing that really needs to be kind of acknowledged is even the backstretch, the help on the backside. I mean, the grueling part of running 6 days, they have an extra day. They got, you know, there's extra work. It's just, it'll be like a different world, actually will be. And we can have some sort of normalcy to our lives rather than, you know, and then the intensity that people, like I said, people don't really understand. The intensity of Saratoga is just, it's just mind-boggling. I mean, everybody in the world is watching Saratoga. If you get beat in the third race here on Thursday, you know, who cares? Not everybody. But Saratoga, everybody is focused, owners, trainers, press, you know, the jockeys from all over the country. I mean, it's very, very intense. So 5 days will be plenty of that.
Ron, always terrific. I look forward to, you know, an opportunity to get your thoughts heading to the break. And as we do, the one question I haven't asked you that virtually everybody has answered the last 4.5 weeks, what was your Derby? What was your view of the Derby?
I'm going to stay politically correct.
Wow.
And not say anything.
No, come on. How can you?
Steve,
you can't.
I don't think it was that tough a call. That's just
yeah.
Me.
All right. There you go. That's good. That's good.
Not at all.
Well, and as for the aftermath, there's not going to be a way to assuage. It's torturous for what Gary West is going through.
I think the publicity for the game is, you know, okay, even though it's negative publicity, but, you know.
I don't know if it's, I mean, in terms of that, I don't think it's been negative. I think it's been interesting.
Interesting. And
people, I mean, I will say one thing, and maybe you can agree or disagree. The subdued nature of Saturday around, I think, I mean, as good as the card is, the three cards are, I think people got a little fatigued from the whole conversation. from the whole aftermath of Derby.
I think it
wore people out a little bit. I think they're going to enjoy, you know, the next 3 days, obviously, but I think it did sort of,
yes,
you know, take some starch out of yes, out of the 5 week run.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, it was very intense. Yes. I mean, I
oh yeah. Well, you're in the middle of it, and you're bombarded from all different angles, so I can completely understand.
But I can feel the run up, and we got Hammer coming in tonight, having dinner with Hammer and Jimmy Ventura and Siaka. Looking forward to that.
True.
And things. Once you get that card drawn, were you out there? Did you come to the?
I was there.
I missed you. I didn't see you.
Yeah, briefly.
Did you see your man Johnny?
Yeah, I did. That's the only reason I really wanted to go.
That was the prime motivation for me.
I hadn't seen John, and you know, we go back a long way, and his health issues and everything, along with my health issues from a few years ago,
it
makes you think.
Good point.
You know, I love John and I love Gail, and I was very much excited to see both of them.
Perfect. And Jay Pribman too. Jay, you know, the West Coasters. When you guys all hook up along the trail and wherever things take us, and I've done very well. I've resisted every thought to talk West Coast with you. So we'll leave it at that.
Very well.
Ron Anderson, everybody, always tremendous. We'll take a break. Top of the hour, we got Sid Fernando coming. We may talk to Mike Beer. I can't tell if we're going to talk to Mike today or tomorrow, but you're going to hear from Beer as well and so much more. Stay with us live from Belmont Park. Back after this.